I don't know how many times somebody has come up to me and said, we have such a great story. We have got to learn to tell our story. And they think that is the key to growing their business. I'm here to tell you, it is not. You do not need to tell your story. It will not help your business to tell your story. It will only help your business to invite customers into a story. And those are completely different skill sets. That's what we're going to talk about today.
I'm Amy Porterfield, ex-corporate girl turned CEO of a multi-7-figure business. But it wasn't all that long ago that I lacked the confidence, the budget, and the time to focus on growing my small but mighty business. Fast forward past many failed attempts and lessons learned, and you'll see the business I have today. One that changes lives and gives me more freedom than I ever thought possible. One that used to only exist as a daydream. I created the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies to help you do the same. If you're an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making who's looking to create a business that makes an impact and a life you love, you're in the right place, friend. Let's get started.
I am Donald Miller, ex-spiritual memoir boy turned CEO of a multi-7-figure business, but it wasn't all that long ago that I lacked the confidence, the budget, and the time to focus on growing my small but mighty business. Fast forward past many failed attempts and lessons learned, and you'll see the business I have today, one that changes lives and gives me more freedom than I ever thought possible, one that used to only exist as a daydream. But this is not a dream. I, Donald Miller, have taken over as the new host of the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast, and I brought along my podcast producer, Bobby Richards.
That's right. I snuck in here too. Now, Don, for clarification, when you say that you've taken over as the host of the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast, do you mean forever? Or do you mean for this one-time April Fool's special edition where we do this goofy bit up top, but actually deliver incredible value for the amazing listeners tuning in right now?
Bobby, I'm talking about forever.
What?
I know. That's how we did it. We gave Amy Porterfield my podcast for a day. She gave me her podcast for a day. But we are not leaving. It's squatter's rights.
All right. I'm going to bust the lock from the inside. We're here forever.
I am in Amy's studio. Hobie is outside trying to get in. We have locked the doors. We have 5 weeks worth of water and beans. And we are not leaving.
That's all you need.
No, just for the day, Bobby. Sadly, just for the day.
Okay. Well, I'll take that too.
Anyway, Bobby, if you, the listener, are an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making, and you are looking to create a business that makes an impact and a life that you love, you are actually in the right place, friend. Let's get started. Bobby, we should let Amy's audience know that Amy and I go back. We are newish friends becoming old friends. How long does it take to become an old friend? 5 years?
I'm going to say five years.
In this day and age. Yeah. I think Amy and I are like 4 years in.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're there. We're getting there.
You got one more year.
We're almost old friends. But she lives in Nashville. She moved to Nashville. And my wife and I have been here for 10 years. We have a great business called Business Made Simple, another business called Story Brand, another business called Coach Builder. All three of them humming along really, really great. Amy has just been incredibly helpful and generous with our team. And we've had her on our podcast and our YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff. And so we thought it would be fun to switch. But for those who don't know who I am, which is probably roughly 97% of her audience, I do marketing and my niche, if you will, is story and story structure. Because yeah. I spent years as a memoirist trying to write really great memoirs. That was a successful career. I wrote 7 of them. I did not want to write an 8th because I had nothing else to say. So I wrote a book about story structure and clarifying a message. That book sold 1 million copies. Building a story brand. And all of a sudden, I had a new career in front of me, which I loved. And basically, it was saying to entrepreneurs, here is how to invite customers into a story. And when we teach people how to do that, we see sales double. Bobby, I just talked to a guy the other day. He owns a billion-dollar publicly traded brand, worked with his team, and gave him 3 words to put on his packaging. And
are you allowed to say those 3 words? You didn't sign anything?
I can say them after they finish rolling them out.
Okay,
because they've
cool.
only tested the 3 words in a select market.
Sure.
But when they put those 3 words on their packaging and made it, quote unquote, the controlling idea
yeah.
of their marketing campaign, sales doubled.
In 3 words.
That's crazy. They went up 99%. So not quite doubled. That's in a sample market. We'll see what happens when it rolls out. I would love to tell you what those 3 words are. They're actually not magical words.
Right, right.
They're not words that you could use because they have nothing to do with what you sell. But that's how easy it is to capture a customer's attention and let them know why your product is so important. And I love those breakthroughs. The other thing that those 3 words did are they invited their customers into a story in which they could use their product to solve a problem and live a happier life. So if all that sounds kind of interesting, but you don't know what I'm talking about, the rest of this episode is going to be very helpful. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how to use story to grow your business, to sell more online courses, to position you as a thought leader, and to give you a platform, you know, to get eyeballs and ears on what you're doing. And I don't know there is a more powerful tool in the world than using story in order to get people's attention. Now, what you think I'm saying is you've got to learn to tell your story. And I don't believe that. And you know, Bobby, we don't hardly ever tell our story and we're doing just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
What we do is we invite people into a story. And what that means is you identify a problem that they have. You talk about that problem. Then you position your product as a solution to that problem so that if they buy it, that problem is solved. Now, think about that. Every story you've ever seen is about a hero or a group protagonist, group of heroes. Collectively, we think of them as one, a group protagonist, who has to overcome a problem in order to experience a better life or a happy ending to this story. That's every story that you've ever seen. The only difference is sometimes it doesn't happen for the hero, and we call that a tragedy. But it's still a story. Hero has a problem, tries to overcome it, neither does or does not overcome it. Stories resonate with human beings so powerfully because we are all individual protagonists in stories trying to solve problems. And when you position yourself as somebody who has a solution to that problem, and you empathize and you understand that your hero is in a hole, your customer is in a hole, and they need to get out of this hole, and they're going to use your product to get out of that hole, their minds are designed to listen to you and to understand. However, when you say, here's our story, our company got started 75 years ago, and my grandfather this and that, and you're telling your story, nobody can figure out why your story matters to them because they don't know what problem you're going to help them solve. So we always say, don't tell your story, invite customers into a story. It's not that it's bad to tell your story. It's just worthless in terms of growing your business. I think it's worthless. I think there's a place after people become raving fans that they want to know more about you. And then when you tell them your story, they feel even closer to you. But you're talking about 7th, 8th, 9th level communication that most people lead with, and you don't want to lead with that. Lead with positioning yourself as the guide who is helping your hero customer win the day. Help them win the day. Let them become raving fans. And only then will they turn around and say, my gosh, who are you? Tell me about yourself. And that's when you can tell your story. So that's where it kind of fits. And most of the questions I'm imagining that Amy and her audience have drummed up have to do with that.
Oh, they absolutely do. And if you're ready, let's jump into it. You ready? You want to go through some questions?
I think I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So the first one is, what is your copywriting formula when writing nurturing content for your audience? And is it different for sales?
It is not very different from sales. I do have a formula. And if you're taking notes, you want to grab a pencil or a pen or something. The only difference is in a nurture email, you're offering free value, but you're still selling somebody on the free value. You're asking them to take a step or use this or try this new thing. It's free. On the sales one, you're asking for money. But the formula is exactly the same, and I'll go through it with you. Let's say you're writing an email. Let's say that you had lunch with a client, and they're thinking about buying something from you, but they're not sure, and you need to go back home, open up your laptop, and send them an email that closes the deal. Here's how you want to structure that email. The first thing you want to do is start with a problem, and I mean that. Don't say it was great having lunch with you. Don't say any of that. Just say, when we talked today, my heart broke because you are struggling with X. Or, if I heard you correctly, you are struggling with X. Get right to the negative, right to the problem. Every story starts with a hero in a hole. If you go to a movie and that hero isn't in a hole within 3 minutes, you will lose the entire audience.
Right.
You go 20 minutes in and Harry and Sally are hitting it off and there's no conflict. You don't even know about that movie.
Yeah, it's not a classic anymore.
It's not a classic anymore. It is conflict all the way through because conflict is the hook. So the sooner you get to the conflict that your hero is struggling with, the sooner they're going to pay attention to you. So you're going to start with the problem. Then you're going to position your product as the solution to the problem. After you start with the problem, you're going to say, we have a product that solves that. We have a service that solves that. We have an online course, an on-demand course that solves that problem. You might even say, here's how it solves it. Then, so you've got problem, then product positioned as the solution. That's the next paragraph, the next sentence, however you want to do it. The third thing you're going to do is you're going to give them a plan. And the plan is basically baby steps. When they realize you have something that can solve their problem, they're going to want to think about it. That's what they're going to want to do. Now, if you let them think about it for too long, they're not going to buy it because they're going to get distracted. They're going to, when they say, I want to think about it, or let me get back to you, when they say, let me get back to you, by the way, that means I want to think about it. What they're actually feeling is a lot of cognitive dissonance. How much is this going to cost? Am I really going to follow through? I bought online courses before and I didn't follow through. All of those questions start coming up, but they can't put words to those questions. It's just a mental feeling of kind of frustration. So what you want to do is you actually want to say, taking my on-demand course is really easy. First, you watch the video. Second, you fill out the workbook. Three, you take action on whatever we talked about. For whatever reason, when you give people three steps of how to use this material, the cognitive dissonance goes away because they suddenly go, oh, there's a path. Right, Bobby? If I said, yeah, hey, man, we should really do a vacation, our two families in Jamaica, you would say,
then there's a laundry list of coordination. Yeah, there's, yeah, you know, going, okay, well, let me talk to my wife. And
are we really going to get along with Don and Betsy? And how much is this going to cost?
Yeah, and
how
long are we going to be there? When are we doing this? Where are we going? You know, are we on the same flight? Are we doing, you know, it's just all of the, yeah, it's just a laundry list of overwhelming.
Now, imagine if I went to you and said, Bobby, our family should do a vacation together. We found this package. It's super easy. First, we take a private jet together to this island. We're doing this because these jets are basically free because it's got to go back to this island to pick somebody up. So that's covered, right? We're done there. It's this resort that's all inclusive, no food, no whatever. So second, everything is taken care of, right? And the whole thing costs $5,000 for 5 days. You bring the whole family, all of it's right there. Third, we have different villas on different sides of the resort. So we kind of do dinner together. Maybe we get together every once in a while, play some card games at night after the kids go to bed or whatever. You know, we kind of do that stuff. It's going to start on April 30th. Would you guys be interested?
I'm in. I've already bought the tickets. Here's my cash.
What's interesting is initially what we brought up was this opportunity, but there was all this cognitive dissonance. Okay, what does this mean? How's this work? Yeah. Blah, blah. But when I actually had three steps, we get on this plane, we pay this much, we enjoy our time together. People go, oh, you didn't actually answer all their subconscious questions, but you answered enough of them that they realize, oh, this is real and legit and there's a plan.
Right.
Right. There's a plan to execute on this.
I can see myself in this situation doing all of those things and then getting that reward or that thing at the end. Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, if you didn't have the plan, what people are doing is they're walking away and they're saying, okay, that's a neat opportunity with Don and Betsy. You've never been to Jamaica. Let me do some research. And they're literally going to go try to find the steps to do it and research it. And they're going to get distracted. And then another opportunity is going to come up. And then they're going to turn down the opportunity. Instead of having them go do research on what this would actually look like if they said yes, just tell them. Just say, these are the three steps.
Paint the picture, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, why three steps? Studies show that if you have four steps, the agreement to do it or the acceptance rate, it slightly declines. Mm-hmm. And at five steps, it drops off the table.
Past three, it just gets almost
past
back
three,
overwhelming.
Past three,
again.
It doesn't
yeah.
work as well. Yeah. Past four, it doesn't work at all, mm-hmm. is the best way to think of it.
Yeah.
So just stick with three. Just do three. So, okay, think about it. In the email, the follow-up email, hey, I noticed that you were struggling with this. We have a product that does this. In order to use our product, just take these three steps. It's super easy. So that's the first three parts of your sales letter or your follow-up. After that, everything is icing on the cake because you're already going to close a ton of sales with those three things. But let's take it even further.
Yeah, what's next?
Negative stakes. If you don't take these three steps, your life is going to look horrible. It's just going to look up. Bobby, if you don't go to Jamaica with us, you will miss the greatest vacation of your life, right? You know,
right,
something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
You know, and our families won't be able to spend time together for another 2 years because, you know, whatever, we're both booked up. Something negative in there that you're going to be missing out on if you don't buy this. Then positive. But if you do say yes, we will have the best vacation ever. We will not bother you. We will do dinner. You know, we can do dinner every night if you want, or every other night. Play cards a couple times. You know, you get your own space. This is an introvert trying to sell another introvert.
Yeah, I know.
Vacation.
I'm like, I was already in done. Yeah, this is great.
You have the positive stakes. And then finally, you actually want to ask for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, hey, it's $2,500 down and $2,500 the day we leave. if you want in. Do you guys want in? Right?
Let's do it. Yeah.
I would do that. For $5,000, a private jet to Jamaica.
I'll see you in Jamaica,
Dad. Yeah, I want to know where that path is. Where is
exactly,
that?
Exactly, yeah.
So basically, let me go through it again. Start with the problem. Position your product as a solution to the problem. Give them a three-step plan. Point out the negative stakes. Point out the positive stakes. And then ask for the money. If you do that and you send that email, you're going to get most likely a yes response, I'm in. And it's not because it's such a coercive or manipulative email. It's because it's crystal clear. People respond to clarity. When it's crystal clear, they're in. And so that's the formula that I would use to write both a nurturing and sales email.
All right, Don, let's jump into another question. The next one is, what are the most common mistakes entrepreneurs make when crafting their brand messaging, and how can they avoid them?
Probably the biggest mistake is that people are too vague.
Mm.
The name of the business doesn't tell me what you offer or what problem you solve for me. Your tagline doesn't tell me what you offer for me. If you're Acme Solutions,
right. And
you offer...
It's like innovative solutions for the world at large.
That's exactly it.
You go, what?
Your tagline is in business for 75 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
Acme Solutions, in business for 75 years, is the most unattaching kind of tagline and business proposition you can make, because I don't know what Acme Solutions does, and who cares if you've been in business for 75 years.
Right.
You know, if you literally said whatever the name of the company is and our toilets are guaranteed to never clog up ever. You know what I mean? You're like,
oh, I know what
I'm
that
buying,
means. Yeah.
I'm buying that toilet. Right. I mean, you know what that is. And, you know, so I think too many businesses are just really, really vague. That's the number one thing I think that people get wrong.
I know you're focused on marketing and selling your digital products, but I know many of you also have physical products, and I want to talk about Shopify. Shopify is a user-friendly commerce platform that helps you, my dear online entrepreneur, build an online store and make more sales at any stage of your business. They're the force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other businesses at every size. Let me tell you why Shopify is an online entrepreneur's dream platform. It's because it helps turn your browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout experience. In fact, it converts 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms. Yeah, loving that. And I don't know about you, but as an online entrepreneur, my customer's experience, especially when it comes to checking out, is so important. Plus, not only do they support your customers, they support you as the entrepreneur. Shopify's award-winning help desk is there to support your success through every question and every step of the way. There's a reason Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/madeeasy. All lowercase. So go to shopify.com/madeeasy now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/madeeasy. We are online marketers, which means we have unique needs. And there are so many options out there for paid media. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where should you go to reach your ideal audience. But here's the thing. Have you thought about LinkedIn ads? LinkedIn ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers, and it allows you to build the right relationships and drive results and reach your customers with meaningful content. You do not want to sleep on LinkedIn ads. And here's the thing, 79% of content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. I hear it from so many of my peers, and I know you're doing important work. And with that, you want to make sure that the work you're doing is getting in front of the right people. And that's what LinkedIn ads will allow you to do. So let your marketing efforts connect with the right audience and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. So if you go to linkedin.com/Amy, you can get that $100 credit. So that's linkedin.com/Amy. Terms and conditions apply.
That's great. That's great. Simple solution, huge impact. Once people can recognize that and can address that, you know, within their own brand. Don't be vague. Next question, Don, we have, how can businesses clarify their marketing message to ensure that it resonates with their target audience and drives conversions?
There's several pieces of advice. Wrote a whole book called Building a Story Brand about this, but here's the number one piece of advice. Start with the problem. Just do this. If you want to sell more product or stand out or differentiate from your competitors who may be selling the exact same thing at the exact same quality, at the exact same price, the way you're going to differentiate from them and pass them up in the marketplace is by talking about the customer's problem 75% of the time and talking about your products 25% of the time. So the more you talk about the customer's problems, the more likely they are to buy something from you. Most of us do the opposite. In fact, it's probably 95-5. 95% of the time we're talking about our product and 5% of the time we're talking about the problem. You want to reverse that. The more you talk about the customer's problem, it should be, if I printed out your website that sells your on-demand course and I took a Sharpie and I circled everywhere you talk about your customer's pain points and problems, the more circles are on that page, the more product you're going to sell. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. So to simplify it, if you want to simplify it, start talking about your customer's problems.
Jump into the problem and see those results. The next question, Don, we have is, how can businesses effectively use storytelling in their sales pages to connect with their audience emotionally and increase conversion rates?
Well, I'll add to the answer to the previous question.
I was going to say, just kind of build off of what you were talking about with that sales
framework.
Yeah,
you got to talk about the problem. But then you also have to position yourself as a guide. The way stories work is there's a hero who's trying to accomplish something. Usually they're rescuing a victim or trying to get out of a jam themselves, but they want something. They're moving forward trying to accomplish something, but they can't do it. It's just too hard and they don't know how, and they're ill-equipped and they're unwilling and they, you know, whatever it is that they're struggling with. And at that point, Gandalf shows up, Mary Poppins shows up, Haymitch shows up, Mr. Miyagi shows up, Yoda shows up. Yeah, on and on and on.
Yeah.
A guide shows up to help the hero win. In your marketing, you want to position yourself as the guide helping the hero win. That's who everybody is looking for. That's why I say don't tell your story, because if you tell your story, you're positioning yourself as the hero. Now, you can tell your story if you tell the parts of your story that your customer identifies with. Right. If you say, you know, I always say I went bankrupt, or I didn't go bankrupt, I lost all my money in a business transaction years and years ago and had to rebuild. I can tell my backstory and here's how I did it. Now everybody's going, wow, you can go from like no money to a lot of money. How do you do it? You're actually being instructive when you're pretending to tell your story. You know, if you tell your story, you say, well, I was born in Houston, Texas, and my mom, you know, nobody cares about that. They care about the parts of your story that help them in the specific context that you are the expert helping them. So don't even think about telling your story. Invite customers into a story and play the guide who is helping them win. Often, the guide actually gives the hero a tool that they can use. Think about Q in the James Bond series. James Bond goes to see Q to get all the weapons and
all those gadgets
that he needs in order to win the day. You want to be Q in your customer story. They come to you to get the tools they need to solve the problem. So, short answer to your question, play the guide, not the hero.
That's great. That's great. Don, what role does social proof play in copywriting? And how can businesses leverage testimonials, case studies, and reviews to build credibility and trust with potential customers?
Social, it's huge. To be able to use social proof to say, here's what your future looks like. That's the controlling idea. Yeah. When you use social proof, use testimonials, customer videos, those sorts of things, pictures even, on your website. Show smiley, happy people using your product because their problem has been solved.
That's right.
Because what you're doing in social proof and testimonials, endorsements, reviews, those sorts of things, is you're actually saying, here's what your future can look like. Listen, Dave Ramsey built probably a $300 million a year organization on debt-free screens. And what that means is people just come into a studio and they say, I'm debt free. And then they share their story. You know, I was $50,000 in debt. And over the last 2 years, I've paid it off. And, you know, congratulations. The debt free scream is a climactic scene that everybody who's not debt free can walk toward and live into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So your testimonials are a vision of what my future could look like. And clearly this person experienced it. Now I want to go experience it. That's what your testimonials are for.
Totally. And those debt free screams, that literally, as you say, smiling, happy people, those are people at their smiliest and happiest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don, how are you using short form video on social media?
Well, a number of ways that I use it for me personally, which is different from the way I suggest a business use it. My personal account is not always, in fact, it's mostly not trying to grow my business. It is in some ways trying
to
grow
my
platform.
You lean into it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that what you want to think about with social media is if you're building a brand on social media, my suggestion to you would be to put an intro and an outro on every single video that you create that is extremely short. So you might say, hey, everybody, I'm Don Miller. I'm a tax strategist helping businesses like yours save money in taxes. Today, I actually wanted to talk about something that isn't related to taxes. I want to talk about my home gym. The fact that I've done the whole thing with rubber bands, you know, and look how cool this is. All right, guys, thanks for watching. If you have any questions about how to build a home gym like mine, let me know. However, I'm not a home gym guy. I'm the tax strategist. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're getting that. You're branding yourself to solve a certain problem, no matter what you're sharing on social media. Now, it's way better if you don't talk about your home gym, unless it's a tax write-off.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you want to tie that into tax strategy. So that's the next level. But you want to open and close every social media post with something the audience can memorize. So you say it over and over. It's the same thing every time, and it somehow positions you as the person who solves a specific problem. And then that's how they'll think of you forevermore. If they ever have that problem, they're going to go, oh, where's that guy on Instagram, right? And you'll be helping them. So that's what I would do with social media.
That's great. And I love the fact, too, like you said, you're positioning yourself as the expert, even when you aren't necessarily diving into those expert topics.
That's
like,
right.
Like, hey, and I just want to talk about my home gym today because these are the results. It's helped me. Hopefully it helps you. I also want to help you with your taxes. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I love it. That's great.
And as loosely connected as that sounds, what it is you're putting bait out there that people are interested in how to create a home gym. And then they discover, oh, this guy's a tax strategist. You know, let me look at his other stuff. Again, it's better if you stick with the content
sure.
of tax strategy, but sometimes tax strategy isn't going to get you very many views on YouTube. So you could do a little bit of a bait and switch.
Right. And it's creating no confusion. There's no confusion because you're clearly—
not if you intro and outro everything
exactly.
the same way.
Don, what's the best way to leverage AI and tools like ChatGPT in order to take advantage of their power? However, keep your unique story and message front and center in your copy.
Well, I think one thing you can do with ChatGPT is cut and paste something that you're working on and ask it to make it more clear, because clarity is really the key. And then you can read and see, okay, ChatGPT really did clarify this. In fact, it feels like that's what I was trying to say the entire time. And you edit it. I use ChatGPT. I don't use it in any of my books or really much of my writing at all. I've used it to create job descriptions. And then I've put those job descriptions in a book in which I needed to have some job descriptions. But even then, I edit it pretty heavily. But what I've found is ChatGPT is an incredible editor. I use an editor. I use multiple editors every time I write a book. You know, I send it to them. They proof it. They say, hey, are you trying to say this? Or this is dragging a little bit. So now ChatGPT is just another editor for me. And you know what? As an editor, not as a content creator, but as an editor, it's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
I'm actually really impressed. So clarity is the key, and use ChatGPT to make your writing even more clear.
One thing, Don, that just something that I use, a hack that I played with is on the app, it has voice recognition. So you can talk to it. And I'll just do, if I'm programming our shows or if I'm working on, say we're trying to figure out sort of details for a meeting and I'm doing a pitch to you going, hey, Don, I think this series is where we want to move with our shows. I actually just talk to it back and forth and say, hey, I want to build an outline for this meeting that I'm going into, this pitch I'm going into. And I just do a brain dump. And then what it does is it organizes all my thoughts. So everything that's in ChatGPT is from my head. And like you said, it works as an editor to just streamline it all. And then I can work off of that and I can get all of that stuff out of my brain and really hone
it. It's so good at you just downloading. And you can even say, hey, I'm trying to figure out what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
Because I'm dancing around it. Can you help me get clear on what I'm trying to do here? Sometimes it's way off. You know, that's not it. Right?
Yeah.
But sometimes you're just like, yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah, just it's a clarity tool. It's a clarity calculator. Without calculators, I don't know that we'd be where we are in terms of physics and all the stuff that we've discovered. There's positive and negative to artificial intelligence. But in my opinion, I think it's going to be a tool that helps people communicate much more clearly.
Totally. Don, I got another question for you. What's the most counterintuitive lesson that you've learned about creating sales pages that convert?
I love this question because the answer is fun. Use drama. Be dramatic. You know, every person has this internal drama queen, if you will.
Right.
And we suppress it because it brings us too much attention, or it makes us look like a victim, or makes us look like a diva. There's something narcissistic about it. Do not suppress drama when you're creating marketing copy. And the reason is they say the camera adds 10 pounds.
Right.
It also reduces energy.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on camera, you always say this, Bob. You're like, hey, more hands, more energy, more, you know, more animation.
I say the moment that you feel a little too cheesy, that's the sweet
you
spot.
Do.
Just
you,
a little,
you
like when you're dipping into
time.
It, that's the sweet spot.
It's true in copywriting as well. Use some drama. Don't just say, you'll regret not using our product.
Mm-hmm.
Say, almost everybody who doesn't buy this regrets it because they're just so tired of feeling the fatigue and the lack of energy and the whatever. You know, or this is your one chance to get this at 25% off. That chance is going away. You can say this.
Some FOMO.
You will cry yourself to sleep tonight, wailing and cursing the world and the injustice of it if you miss this sale. Now, what that's going to read is funny.
Sure.
You know, it's going to that these guys are having fun.
But you're still putting it out there.
You know?
Yeah.
And you could even say, hey, by the way, here's a therapeutic retreat center that you can go to if you miss today's sale, because you're going to want to work through some issues. You know, I mean, just stuff
like that is just fun. Yeah.
And make sure you get an affiliate link for the
therapy. right.
But, you know, that, you know, those, that sort of thing, just use drama.
Yeah.
Just ramp it up. It's your chance to kind of be a little bit campy.
Well, and that's that part of the whole everything you've been talking about leaning into those negative stakes. That's a great place to stir up that drama.
Yeah. Talk about the negative twice as much as you talk about the positive. And the reason is not because you want to be negative, because it makes the positive look that much better.
Right.
Right. The darker the dark, the brighter the light.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get dark.
Get dark.
Because your product will look more like light.
And get that affiliate link. You want to track that engagement.
If you want to do the therapeutic
engagement. You want to track the engagement.
I recommend on-site workshops.
They're great.
I don't have an affiliate with them, but I just recommend them if you want to go to a therapeutic retreat center.
Don,
that's a plug.
That's a plug. Hey, on-site's great. We got two more questions. And one of them's at the end. This one's directly from Amy, but I'll get to that one last. Don, what is one commonly accepted piece of wisdom about copywriting that you disagree with?
All right. I've already said it. You have to tell your story. You should tell your story. You ought to tell your story. No, you should not. No, you do not. And no, you ought not. No, you ought not. I think if no, you ought not means you should. You oughtn't not do that.
I got you.
Don't tell your story. Again, you know, I think telling your story is something that you do with raving fans. Mm-hmm. And
that we get to know you more. Yeah, get deeper in.
But when you're trying to cast this really wide net, make sure people recognize themselves in your communication. You know, heroes are out there struggling up against a challenge. If Jason Bourne meets Rudy in the movie, and Jason Bourne says, I don't know who I am. I just got these skill sets. And Rudy says, I'm trying to make the football team at Notre Dame. We don't know what the hell this movie's about.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's only one hero in a story. There's not two, unless it's a group protagonist story. But then the group protagonist acts as one and wants one thing. So, you know, it's got to be super clear. And just change all the copy. Now, it's okay to talk about yourself. People think, well, I can't talk about myself. I don't want to be the hero. No, the guide talks about themselves all the time, right? We know a lot about Gandalf. We know a lot about Yoda. We know a lot about Mary Poppins. Frickin' the whole movie's about Mary Poppins, right? But she's the guide helping the kids and the family. She's not the hero of the story. The hero of the story is the person who's up against the challenge who transforms, which is the dad in Mary Poppins.
Mr.
He's
Banks.
Busy with his work, busy with his bank, busy with all that stuff he's doing. And at the end of it, he's flying a kite with his kids because the guide, Mary Poppins, showed him a different way to live. You are the guide showing people a different way to live. So it's counterintuitive, and it's often, I can't stand it when people say, you got to tell your story. They literally take money from people to help them tell their story and sink their businesses. It's sickening.
So don't do that.
Don't do it.
Don disagrees with that. And
I'm not being dramatic.
I do too.
It's awful. You're going to need therapy if you do that.
Shout out those negative stakes. So Don, here's the last question. Last question of our takeover of the podcast here. This is from Amy. Some of my students have courses in subjects like taxes. Oh, we were just talking about taxes.
Sorry, taxes is exciting.
Home gym and taxes. But taxes or accounting, how do you approach the challenge of making quote unquote boring products or industries exciting through copywriting?
Okay, I love this question.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think there's anything boring about taxes or accounting if you know how to talk about it. But let me give you three tips. First is FOMO.
Mm.
So if we're talking about taxes, other people who are just like you pay half the taxes that you do.
I'm listening.
Right?
Yeah.
Now we're in.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out. How are they doing that? Second, You are under attack. The government will not tell you or help you pay less money in taxes.
Drama.
Yeah, they're coming after you. They want all that money. And by the way, they don't use it effectively or efficiently. And the whole system is, they waste a lot of, right? You're under attack. And then there is a secret. The third trick is there's a secret about taxes that you don't know. There's a secret about gardening that you don't know. There's a secret about whatever, longevity, that you don't know. And so FOMO, other people are experiencing something that you should be experiencing. The next would be somebody's trying to get you, and I'm going to help them not get you. And then the third would be there's a secret, and I want to tell you the secret. So those are three ways to add a little drama and urgency to any business, not just a business that you think is boring. But if you do think it's boring, add FOMO, add there's somebody trying to attack you or something or some philosophy trying to attack you, and add there is a secret. And that copy will no longer be boring. I don't care what you're talking about.
This has been so fantastic. I know that I, on behalf of both of us, I want to just shout out Amy Porterfield, Amy and her team.
You. Yeah, I mean, it means a lot that she would trust me with an audience. Amy loves her people.
Mm-hmm.
She loves them. She knows them. She talks to them. She cares about them. So the fact that she would trust me with her audience is quite an honor.
And
yeah,
the fact
it means a lot to me.
She trust me to tag along.
There you
too.
Go.
That's a huge honor.
There you go.
And Don, where can people find more about you?
All right. I've got a new book out called Coach Builder. Most people who sell wisdom, who sell their knowledge, struggle with two insecurities. The first is, where am I going to get a client? How can I make more money doing this so that I can keep doing it? Because I'm very, very nervous about that. The second insecurity is, how do I deliver even more value to the clients who pay me for my wisdom? And I wrote a book called Coach Builder that answers those two questions. So it helps you grow a coaching business, takes you through 8 steps, and then it offers some tips on delivering even more value. And there's sort of psychological tips of when you do it this way, people just go, wow, I can't believe I'm getting such a deal here. And that book is called Coach Builder. You can get it on Amazon. When you get the book, go to coachbuilderbook.com/podcast. And Bobby has put together a bunch of bonuses that you get for ordering the book, including a PDF of 27 different coaches and thought leaders' websites that work extremely well. Some of them are making more than $1 million off of their website. If you would like to look at 27 different websites, buy the book and then go to coachbuilderbook.com/podcast. And again, the book is called Coach Builder, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And Amy, thank you for letting me pitch my book. All of the money from the Coach Builder book goes to feed a family called the Miller family. And we have a daughter. She's 2.5. And we take the money from the book and we turn it into food and then we eat that food. So I'm very, very grateful.
I want to know where you go with that. I was like,
is that
April
okay
Fools?
Or is that weird?
It's like April Fools? No. But when you said that, I was going to go, that's not April Fools. That's true.
That's actually true.
It helps feed my family as well.
Helps feed Bobby's family. Helps feed everybody's family on staff. That's what we do.
But even more than that, it helps so many people out there build a coaching business,
which
completely changed their life.
Coaches have so dramatically influenced and changed my life. I mean, I can literally point to about 6 or 7 thought leaders, most of them relatively unknown, mm-hmm. who taught me something or showed me how to do something that is the reason I get to do what I do today in so many areas of life, in story and story structure, in how to do a podcast, in media training, in honestly tax strategy, all of that stuff. And I've spent my whole life going from one thought leader to the next saying, hey, I'm dealing with something, can you help me? And the people whose lives you are changing, those lives matter. And they do feed their families because of the wisdom that you've given them. So more power to you. All right, Bobby, thanks for being with me today. This is fun.
This was great.
I think we have to leave. I don't think Hobie wants us in here anymore.
I got to fix this lock then because I busted it from the inside. I thought we were in here forever.
So next week, it's back to your favorite podcast host, Miss Amy Porterfield, who we love. But until then, I hope that we have helped you use story structure to grow your business, to invite customers into a story in which you changed their lives because they used your product or service. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me in this special April Fool's episode of the podcast. Bye for now.